With all the stories that matter across the Northwest, it's Greg Hughes on the 9 to Noon Show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the second hour of this Tuesday's 9 to Noon Show. Good morning if you have just tuned in. You are very welcome along. And I also want to say a very good morning to Bernie, Duncan, Annie, John, Audrey and Michael, who are watching us live across our social media. And just to remind you that you can watch the show live every day for 3 hours on our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. That's good for your phone, laptop, tablet, your smart TV, which normally has the YouTube app on it now, and also, of course, your Fire Stick. And we're also on Facebook, Highland Hub or Highland Radio News and Sport. Coming up very shortly, Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh will be joining us in studio with Community Garda information for this Tuesday. So stay tuned for that. That and so much more besides. We're going to take the bingo numbers now and we'll return in just a couple of moments. Okay, this is the 9 till Noon Show here in Highland Radio. Now it's time for Community Garda information. We're joined this week by Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh from the Letterkenny Garda Station. Eugene, good morning to you. Oh, Eunan, sorry. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
I won't call you Donald, Greg, but I'm fine. How are you?
I don't think, have you got a Eugene colleague? Anyway, right. Thanks very much for calling in, Eunan.
Thank you.
And hopefully now the public will be able to help with some of these appeals. And we have some information for you a little later on as well. But first, we'll start with an appeal as it relates to a fatal road traffic collision in Burnfoot.
Yes, Greg, Gardaí and Macrana are investigating a single vehicle, a fatal road traffic collision that occurred in the townland of Tubin on the R238, the main Burnfoot Buncrana Road, last Friday, the 14th of July, at approximately 4:30 p.m. The male driver, in his mid-60s, was seriously injured when the car he was driving struck a ditch. He was removed from the scene to Letterkenny University Hospital, Greg, in a serious condition, and unfortunately, sadly, passed away in hospital, and he's been named locally as Jim Quinn, a local man from Buncrana. A female passenger in her early 60s was not injured during the collision. So Gardaí and Macrana are appealing for any witnesses to the collision to come forward. And again, anybody who travelled in the area around the time and who has dash cam to make it available to the Gardaí. And again, anybody information to contact Macrana Garda Station 07493 20540. That's 932 0540. Or again, the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Yes, and the public's assistance being sought in relation to a road traffic collision in Mulville.
Yes, this happened last Thursday morning, Greg, in the townland of Lechamy, Mulville, between 7:45 a.m. and 8:40 a.m, so sometime Thursday morning. A motorist was travelling along the R238, the Carndonna to Mulville Road, and was travelling behind the lorry when a stone from the back of the trailer that was attached to the lorry fell on, off and smashed the windscreen of his car. The motorist also was struck by the stone and had to receive hospital treatment for injuries sustained. So for in the first instance, Greg, it's possible that the driver of the lorry may not be aware that this happened, and we're asking the driver of the lorry to come forward. And again, anybody who travelled along that route on the morning in question to contact the Gardaí if they have any information. Again, if you have dash cam and you're in the area, around the area at the time, to make it available to the Gardaí at Buncrana, again, 07493 20540, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Yep, and in that instance, it's not necessarily the dash cam footage catching the
incident,
but it's the movement of vehicles.
Yes, so
shocking experience for the driver there, and a reminder, I suppose, of the responsibility to ensure any loads are fully secure.
And again, as you say, somebody in the area at the time might have footage of the lorry maybe travelling along the road 10 or 15 minutes or maybe 10 or 15 minutes before or after the collision. So as you say, it's important that's provided to us.
Right, okay. And another appeal about an RTC. This is going back a week.
Yes, this is going back to May. This going back to Saturday the 20th of May, Greg. The reason for the appeal is that we believe somebody in the area has information that will be of assistance to the investigation. So it's a collision that occurred in the car park known as Michael Henney's car park on Main Street, Ballybuffet. A black Skoda Octavia was parked at the location when it was struck on the passenger side by a silver or gold type Skoda Octavia also. So it's believed that the driver of the car in question waited a while in the area and then left, unfortunately. So we're appealing for the driver to make contact with the Gardaí, and again, anybody who was in the area at the time, but we do believe somebody in the area has relevant information, and we're asked to provide it to Gardaí Letterkenny 07491 67100.
Okay, now Garda investigating an assault in Carndonagh.
Yes, this assault occurred last Friday night, the 7th of July, at the Diamond in Carndonagh. A male person was assaulted by three other males and had to receive treatment at Letterkenny University Hospital, where fortunately his injuries are not life-threatening in nature. At the time of the incident, the marquee in the Diamond event was taking place in Carndonagh. So this means, Greg, that there have been more people than usual in the area at the time. And again, anybody witnessed the incident or has any information to make it available to Gardaí at Buncrana, 07493, again, 20540.
All right, okay. And Gardaí and Buncrana investigating a theft there too.
Yes, this is a nasty theft which occurred in the Elm Park area of Buncrana between July the 15th and the 17th. Again, it's residents had purchased flowers and planted them within the park and stolen between the above named dates. And again, anybody information in relation to the theft of the flowers and damage there, to contact the Gardaí Buncrana, 074 93 205 40.
Right, okay. Now, a series of instances that your colleagues in the Ballyshannon district are dealing with.
Yes, this is a number of break-ins to vacant houses in the Ballyshannon district. And again, in many of the instances, Greg, the occupiers wouldn't have discovered the thefts or the crimes until they came back to their holiday homes for weekends or summertime. So a burglary took place at a vacant house between April the 29th and June the 29th in the area of Leganarca in Ardra. And in this instance, the front door of the property was damaged and entry was gained. And again, the garden shed door, like a lot of the crimes being committed in the area at the time, was forced open. And again, between June the 30th and July the 12th, entry was gained to a vacant holiday home in Doolin, Kilcar, with substantial damage caused to the property and serious it ransacked inside. Mm. Also between June the 1st and July the 12th, a burglary occurred at a vacant cottage in the Largy Brack area of Glencolumbkill. And again, damage was caused to the front door and entry gained. And again, if anybody noticed any suspicious activity in any of the above named areas in recent times, we asked them to make contact with the Gardaí at Ballyshannon, 07198 58530. That's 07198 58530. Or again, the confidential line, 1-800-666-111.
Yeah, all right. So there clearly is an MO here. Certain properties are being targeted. And I suppose some general advice
yes,
for people
some general
with
advice,
these properties.
Greg, we're advising people who own holiday homes or are staying in them to ensure that the properties are well secured when they're away. And again, do not leave any valuables or large amounts of cash within them. These people are after the quick gain, you know, in and out, get the valuables, cash, jewellery, etc. And again, if possible, leave a key with a trusted neighbour or friend and ask them to keep an eye on the property for you. And again, we're asking people to remain alert, to look out for the elderly, vulnerable neighbours, and to always report suspicious activity or vehicles to the Gardaí. And again, try to provide as much possible as details in your report, registration, number of vehicle, colour of vehicle, direction of travel, etc.
And again, and just in relation to that, people don't want to be seen as busybodies or taking up guard of time, or, you know, but I mean, it's these little bits of information,
yes, small pieces,
that are critical to investigating and also keeping communities safe, aren't they? Like, so don't doubt yourself. If looks off, don't post it on, well, you can post it on Facebook, whatever people want to do individually, but that is really valuable information for Gardaí.
It is. You may be reporting a car that's acting suspiciously, and we may have details of that vehicle already, maybe in another area, and it's allow us to progress to where the car has moved to, things like that.
Greg. Yeah, and I think you're going to say also, you know, it's important to registration number of vehicles, where they were heading or coming from, and if there are people out of the vehicles, their accents, hair colour, clothing, that type of stuff, yes. Useful information.
And so, again, so we have some information, it'll be posted on our Facebook page in relation to, again, the usual crime prevention advice on, for people on holidays. By the time of year, we're all going away. Leave a car in the driveway if possible. Gives the impression that there's somebody at home. Obviously, ensure that the car that you're leaving is locked and do not leave any cash or valuables inside. Cancel any deliveries, such as milk, and ask someone to collect your post, especially if you're getting something delivered by a courier, which will be left at your front door for a number of days. Ask somebody to come and collect it. Lock away your wheelie bins, ladders and other tools that could be used to climb or force entry to your house. Keep your garden tidy, and if you're away for a prolonged period, maybe have somebody cut your grass. Secure your garden shed with good quality lock, and independently secure your bikes and other high value items. And again, as I said, cash and jewellery remain the target items for these people. So don't keep large amounts of cash at home, and either take your jewellery with you or invest in a good quality safe. And again, consider installing a video doorbell. They're becoming very affordable and allows you to remotely answer a call to your door, which again gives the impression that somebody is at home. And again, the last thing is posting photos when you're on holidays of your trip. Again, we all like to go away and relax and tell people where we are, but maybe somebody looking in on your Facebook page and said, hey, these guys are on holidays.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's not always friends. It's friends of friends,
friends or bogus
accounts.
Yes.
And listen, all of the advice points to the fact that these people are professionals at what they do. They'll choose the path of least resistance and they know what to look out for. Something as simple as it seems the wheelie bin lying out for a couple of weeks or the grass going uncut. These are real strong indicators.
And yes, yes.
It's not funny to say, then.
They prefer to break into a house where there's nobody present.
Yeah, okay. Notify Gardaí that your home will be vacant too as well. That's another one people might be reluctant to do. Talk to us a little bit about that.
We do include your address in our patrols where we send out an email to station party to such and such. Maybe Mr. Greg Hughes is on holidays from this date to that date and his house at the address will be vacant and to keep an eye on it during your patrols.
All right, okay. All good advice there. And sometimes it's too late when you're the victim of one of these crimes. So we have to be proactive sometimes, all the time, really. Okay, now back to the theft of a motorcycle.
Yes, a red Benelli motorcycle, registration number 191C8370. That's a red motorbike. 191C8370 was stolen from the Glen Carr area of Letterkenny last Tuesday night between 9 p.m. Tuesday 11th and 7 a.m. on Wednesday the 12th. So sometime Tuesday night. If anybody observes suspicious activity in the area or seeing the motorbike, to contact the Gardaí at Letterkenny 074-9167-100. The bike was located, Greg, in the forest area beside Ballymacool Woods. And again, if you saw the bike on the roads or saw anything suspicious, to contact the Gardaí in Letterkenny.
Right, okay. Now, last evening, your colleagues, the PSNI, released information as it relates to a missing persons appeal, Eunan.
Yes, our colleagues in the PSNI are looking for our assistance and assistance of the public in an attempt to locate a missing person, Patrick Harrigan. Patrick is approximately 61 years of age and he's missing from the Derry area. He's described as 5'6" with grey hair, wearing blue jeans and a check shirt. And there's a possible sighting of Patrick in the Buncrana area last Sunday, Greg, the 16th. And our colleagues in Buncrana are carrying out inquiries at the minute. So as anybody has information in relation to Patrick's whereabouts, contact the Gardaí or the PSNA at 04890 650 222. That's 04890 650 222. Photos of Patrick is available on the Police Derry City and Strabane Facebook page. And I believe you've also shared the images, Greg.
Indeed. And if you're in Northern Ireland, you can call the PSNI directly on 101. Now, you were talking earlier on about marking property.
Yes. So,
and there's a couple of marking events coming up. And this is vital in getting property back to its owners, because we don't talk about it because it's not the nature of appeal, but the Gardaí are actively recovering stolen goods all of the time, but it's connecting those stolen goods then back to whomever might actually own them.
So our property marking consists of marking the property with your air code. So if we locate stolen property and your air code's on it, again, it's easy to find out. Type in the air code, we have the address and we have the owner. So we're having two property marking events in the Letterkenny district area. The first is Saturday the 29th, which is Saturday week, is it? It's a Dromahol football pitch between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. So come along with all your valuable property and get it marked. The second event will take place at Clohan Community Centre on the same date, Saturday the 29th, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. So again, a good opportunity to permanently mark your trailers with your air code. Please ensure that you have your correct air code with you and everybody's welcome to come along.
And as you say, the Garda Síochána Facebook page is a fantastic resource, regularly updated, and it'll have details of those marking events on it as well as that advice that we heard Eunan talk of earlier in terms of securing your property. Simple stuff, but stuff that will make a difference. Right. A listener contacted the show last week as they had a query in relation to which side of the road a cyclist should use. I think I could answer this one, I think.
Well, the answer to the question is that it's probably one of the questions at the bottom. Is it the €100 question?
Yeah,
not the million-dollar question.
No, it's not. No, it's one of the
answer to the question is the cyclist should also travel on the left-hand side of the road in the same direction as the flow of traffic. So just to reassure your listeners that cyclists are also subject to the same rules of roads as cars and other vehicles on a road. So a bicycle is a vehicle and is subject to the same regulations in relation to dangerous driving, careless driving, and there are a number of fines and spots which can be issued to cyclists.
If it's a one-way street?
That's a good question.
You can only go with the direction of traffic.
Unless there is a specific cycle lane going against it.
Yeah, exactly.
But one-way street with the flow of traffic.
On the road, yes. Yeah, yes. Okay. So, yeah, what you might do in a footpath or a cycle lane that allows you to go in the other direction, that depends locally. But if there's no alternative,
you go with the flow of traffic on the road and not on the footpath.
Again, you know, some of this is common sense, but I think that's off the back of maybe people having a conversation about it and wanting it clarified. Okay, a listener contacted the show last week with this question. How common is drink spiking within our region? Hearing horror stories that a group are coming into the county and spiking drinks in local bars. People whose drink is spiked instantly get uncomfortable and hot and have to go outside for fresh air, and then the group is waiting there to take their bags, wallets, as they're also disorientated. Now, one person says this happened to them, and then it gets widely shared on Facebook, and then people believe that this is a common occurrence. Now, this is not to say it doesn't happen, but I suppose if it were happening at a very regular rate, there would be some references on the pulse system, etc.
Yes.
So what is the situation?
So we did check it. Grania checked it for me, and we have not received any similar reports to what this listener described within our Donegal division. I know we had some last year, which are currently still being investigated. However, if anybody has suspected that this has happened to them and has not reported, we advise them to do so. So again, I may just give some advice in relation to...
This is possibly a very serious crime.
A concerned parent, and it's the time of year with exam results are coming out and all the discos and things like that, and people 17 or 18 may be going out for the first time. So if your drink has been in spike, Greg, it's unlikely that you'll see, smell or taste any difference. Some drugs may taste slightly salty or smell unusual. If you start to feel strange or more drunk than you should be, you should get help immediately. So the common advices are as following. Never leave your drink unattended and keep an eye on your friend's drinks also. Do not accept drink from someone you do not know. The simple things. Consider sticking to bottled drinks if you are concerned, and avoid punch bowls of drugs or cocktails. And again, don't give your address out to someone who you've just met. And if you think your drink's been tampered with, do not drink it. Tell a trusted friend or relative immediately. And before going out, let someone know where you're going and what time you expect to be home at. And again, always make plans for your journey home. Avoid taking expensive equipment with you or anything that could be a target for thieves. And again, if you're travelling abroad, be aware of the local areas and where you should be able to find help if needed.
All right, so... Good advice. Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh, thanks for your time today. Really do appreciate it.
Have a nice week. We'll see you soon.
Okay, that was Community Garda Information with Garda Sergeant Eunan Walsh this week. It'll be back with you on the show after the 10 o'clock news next week. And if you want to listen back or watch back, it's on our podcast or will also be available on our Facebook pages and the Facebook page of On Garda Síochána Cána. Okay, joined on the programme now by John Madden. Good morning, John. Thanks for taking the time. And thanks for taking our call, by the way. We do appreciate it.
No problem, Greg.
You used your platform and your experience to point out issues as it relates to access to care in this country. And you made the comparison between cancer and Alzheimer's. For the benefit of listeners, John, what was your point?
My point is that... cancer, which is a disease, is rightly treated at great expense by the state or by a private insurance company, as it should be, as most diseases are. But there is one disease that affects predominantly the elderly, Alzheimer's disease, where you have to pay large amounts of money for the care you need. You have to give up a large chunk of your assets and a large chunk of your income, and no other disease attracts that kind of treatment by the state.
Is there any historical reason as to why two diseases would be treated differently like this?
Well, the main reason is there is no effective treatment for Alzheimer's. There are new drugs coming on the market which slow it down. And there is a blood test on the way which will predict whether you are likely or not likely to get Alzheimer's. And if you're one of the people who are sadly likely to get it, those drugs could be started earlier and might have better results by starting them earlier.
Yeah, the one thing I heard some commentary on that, and listen, any innovation or any advancement in drugs is to be welcomed, but concerns that in relation to Alzheimer's, that we don't necessarily have the structures to get benefit from that in terms of, you know, access and early access is to scans and what have you. So historically, we are behind the curve in terms of the diagnosis, treatment and, of course, funding of Alzheimer's care.
Yeah, well, everything comes down to money in the end, and I suppose the people in the HSE have to prioritise where to spend the money. Boris Johnson, when he was fighting the last election, promised to give care for Alzheimer's, but then, of course, like lots of politicians, he forgot his promise as soon as he got in.
Yeah, and I think this might go under the radar to some extent, John, because, you know, I mean, obviously Alzheimer's, like cancer, but it's a very personal experience. And we have thousands and thousands and thousands of families going through this all in the same position. Maybe there's better organisation in terms of representation for cancer care. I don't know how we could see this sort of difference in how these two diseases are treated other than something like that.
Well, yeah, but something should be done. I mean, the deal they have at the moment for looking after people who sadly can no longer be looked after in their homes, in other words, nursing home care, is called the Fair Deal Scheme. I don't think it's particularly a fair deal at all. I think there needs to be a closer integration of social care and medical care, and the fact that somebody needs to be in a nursing home with a disease that's basically incurable at the moment shouldn't mean that they have to pay through the nose for it.
Yeah, and as you say, give up their home to fund care. Okay, John, listen, thank you so much for your time and explaining that for our listeners. I do appreciate it. John Madden there, 086 60 25000 if you have a comment to make on that or anything else for that matter. Let's get to some of your comments here. Many people are not cutting the grass anymore for nature, so uncut grass does not mean a house is vacant. I'm not sure many are. I do know exactly what you're saying, but anyway, that's just part of it. Maybe these people watch your property and they're from your community and they're passing on information, and maybe you normally do and then you don't. It's sort of not one particular thing. It could be a series of indicators. So if your lawn's not cut, there's post at your front door and your bin's not been taken back, I think it's a sort of series of indicators that they might go by rather than, you know, everything being normal, but your grass is long. But I take your point and thanks for that. Hi, Greg. Was listening about the case for nursing home against the state. I lost my mother in a hospital. The mistakes in communication was horrible. When they were on the phone to me arranging my mum to come home, she was in fact already gone. I never got to see her. We need to know the facts. I'm grateful to be part of Care Champions. As families, we support each other in this fight for justice. And what a horrific experience for you to be speaking about the future and getting your mum home, even perhaps if it was for end of life care, but then to have the situation that you found out that she'd actually passed is a horrendous experience for you. Right, okay. We had a listener contacted me last evening who was wondering if anyone had any success in overcoming a phobia of dogs, for an example, through hypnosis or any other measures. I love this show because people listen and then they text in. Kira said, "Hi, Greg. I had an awful fear of animals for as long as I remembered, but never remembered being attacked or bitten. I had hypnotherapy done in my 30s and it didn't just happen overnight, but I got over my crippling fear and ended up with two dogs. I was that bad, I'd lock myself in my car if I seen a cat or a dog or a bird near me. I wouldn't visit friends or family if they had any pets. I now don't have to cross a road when I see any type of animal. I don't feel threatened or I don't threaten to move out of home if there's a mouse or a spider lurking. It's tough going and emotional, obviously dependent on a reason for the fear. But all I can say is it worked for me." And they Hugh Quinn Insight Hypnotherapy, they attended in Frost's. Kira, and I think Kira's picked up on what the listener's problem is. This isn't just an inconvenience. This is a crippling fear whereby it interferes with your everyday life. Right, okay. Hi, can you tell listeners that there's long tailbacks and delays on the Letterkenny to Derry Road at Newtown Cunningham due to resurfacing of the main road? Indeed, and someone else was complaining as to why that work can't be done overnight. via email. A lot of people are saying they won't pay the TV licence. Is it true the government are introducing a new broadcasting charge to replace the licence and will take it automatically out of your wages like property tax? Well, that was being discussed. It was a broadcasting charge and there was conversations of it being taken by revenue. So in other words, inescapable. So you couldn't say that's not a TV, it's a microwave. It would be taken and it would be whether you had a laptop, anything, a phone, anything in your property that you could view online content or content online from, not just a television. That died off to some extent because I don't think there was a great public appetite for it, particularly given what you're getting for it. You know what I mean? Like you can watch Netflix, you pay Netflix, and if it's crap, you cancel your subscription and you go, I'm not watching that nonsense anymore. The problem with the broadcasting charges is that it would be to fund RTE and you would have no choice. So even if you never watched it, say you're paying Sky, whatever you're paying Sky, you never watched RTE, you still would be obliged to pay this charge, which would then fund RTE. So through the jigs and the reels, people weren't too happy about that. And there was no mention of it then. It seemed to have fallen off the... fallen off the table. But now the conversation is back as to how the media is funded in this country. That's going to be one of the options they look at. But I don't think there's any appetite to compel people via revenue at this time to help support an organisation that clearly has a culture within it, which has been exposed over the last little while. So I don't know how it's going to play out. I know there's going to be a potential €55 million hole in RTE's finances if people continue to not pay the licence fee at the rate they are at the moment. But they will be bailed out by the state, which is your money anyway. So they're in a win-win. Greg, maybe one fine day the so-called or the so-labelled conspiracy theorists, of which I am not, will be proved correct. Remember the testimony of the Undertaker in the UK at the very beginning of COVID? That comes in from Mary. But Mary, that was disproved at that time. I'll get that story dug out for you. He ended up actually in hospital with COVID as well, that same person. He then went off the radar thereafter. I don't know what he's doing now. Listen, I mean, there's no... If you take a position that's at odds with the mainstream view on everything... You know, be it 5G, be it COVID, be it the climate, be it chemtrails, be it... And I'm not grouping all of those in together. But I mean, say, for instance, you take an opposing view on everything, except flat, the Earth being flat. I don't think you're ever going to win that one. But anyway, eventually, obviously, along the line, you are going to be proven right. That's just the way it works. So there are conspiracy theorists, as you call them, or as they can be called, that eventually, of course, on certain issues, they're going to be proven correct. Because if you take a position that seems to be generally one follows the other from time to time, you're going to be right. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Isn't that what they say? The Irish Railway Network, as it looked over one... And by the way, conspiracy theorists... I'm not saying someone who... believes all governments are corrupt or that that wars are created because for profits and stuff. That's not. I wouldn't call that conspiracy theory. I'd be more on about the more stuff that's scientifically disputed, if you get where I'm coming from. For those of you watching, I'm holding up an image here. That's the way the railways used to be in Donegal. Look at that. Meandering right throughout the county up into Inishowen, out to Burtonport, out to Kittybegs. Is that our draw? It's in the direction of just the network of rail. This was 1920. Everywhere is covered by rail, and then we switch to an image of now. 100 years later, we're supposed to be progressing so well, aren't we? And there's nothing, absolutely nothing in the Northwest, and some shock. And the argument I believed at the time was that railways, and this is why we need real high level, this is why we need to scrutinise everything as the people. That's what we hope we do on this show and other shows like this. The argument was said to me at one time that the reason they got rid of the trains, one of the reasons was is that lorries were the future of transport, that they were more efficient, that they were a better way of doing things. And now here we are, the main principal argument for returning railways to some areas is for freight. So we've done a full 180. 360 would leave us back where we were. Yeah, we've done a 180. But anyway, be that as it may, we were far better off, far better served in terms of rail 100 years ago than we are now. We'll never get back to where we were then. But as I say, that's why it's so important that all decisions scrutinised, because at the time, there would have been shows like this, I'm sure, newspaper articles arguing as to why we don't need the railway anymore. And look, now we're begging to get it returned. Okay, so we're all really excited about the World Cup kicking off very shortly, of course. Ireland are going to be there thanks to a Donegal woman, and there is a strong Donegal interest. It's a nationwide thing. And, of course, there has to be a song, doesn't there? Maria Walsh of Zrazi has a role in producing Come On Ireland, giving us the right to dream. Maria Walsh, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, good morning. Hello, Donegal.
We have to have a song for such a monumental event, momentous event, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, we were the original writers of Ua Paul McGrath back in 1990. So I said to Carol, listen, we should do something for the women. And she was madly busy. So it sort of, disappeared out of the brain. And then I read this fantastic interview with Louise Quinn, and it just completely motivated me to get pen to paper, and the lyrics just flew out.
And what is the key, and we're going to hear it when we finish the interview, Maria, what's the key then to a really good song? It has to be an earworm. You have to want to sing along. You almost have to know it on your first hearing. Is that really what you're trying to achieve?
Yes, I really felt, yes, it has to be an earworm. You're totally right. I wanted an instant hook, a chorus that everybody could sing along with, and that really would transfer itself then easily onto the terraces, like the way Ua did. But so the most obvious line to me was, it's what I say myself naturally, is "Come on, Ireland," That's what you roar at the telly,
With a clenched fist, it's the passion.
Yeah, the clenched
cry.
Fist. That's the first thing that came out of my mouth. So that was straight away was the chorus line.
And I think it is significant too for the team and the squad more generally to have the fans at home with a common cry, so to speak. And who's to say maybe it might even make it to the stands of that packed out opener against Australia?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping, because there's a big Irish contingent in Australia, and there's a friend of mine living in Sydney who's she said she's going to bring it along on her portable speaker and blast it out and about, and she's going to the match, lucky her.
Yeah, you got Michael D. Higgins, the president, involved in this. We'll hear it shortly, but talk to us about his involvement, and who else features on the track?
Yeah. So it was fantastic that President Michael D agreed to joining in, because he loves football, and he's the chairman of the Galway football team, or the soccer team. Totally interested, as a good feminist that he is, and of course he used to write for a Hot Press magazine as well, so he had all the credentials. And then the other contributor is Siobhan Ahern. She represents the Irish diaspora in Scotland, and her sister, she's a fantastic vlogger herself. She does these great vlogs, and I just came across her on the internet, and I loved what she did. So her sister happens to be Ruaisha Littlejohn, her twin sister, actually. And she's, of course, Ruaisha is brilliant on the team. So that was the connection there, and she gives a fantastic contribution in the middle of the song.
Brilliant. Okay, we're going to hear it. It's available for sale on iTunes. You can stream it on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, and all other relevant online platforms. So it's ready to go. People can listen to it now over the next few days as the excitement builds. As I say, of course, don't want to be too parochial, but we have a real strong Donegal interest in it as well. Maria, it's been lovely having you on the show. And as I say, we're going to listen to the track now, and hopefully it's relevant past the group stages through the final. Who's to say we couldn't win it? You have to dream, don't you?
You do. Okay. Let it rip.
Exactly. All right. Take care of yourself. Thank you very much indeed. Here it is. Come on, Ireland.
I feel so good. Ooh, so good. Yeah.
Come
proud of all our girls, from Katie Taylor taking on the world, against the odds, against the tide, all our daughters making us proud. Sonia Sullivan, Kelly H, Rashida Adeleke taking the stage, rowers, riders, runners, swimmers, Leona the golfer, rugby and cricket. There's no stopping, the girls are the ticket. There's no stopping, the girls are the ticket. Come on, Ireland, come on, Ireland.
So it plays at Come On Ireland. My first hearing of that as well. So there you have it. What do you think? 086 60 25,000. Probably a bit of a grower. Mark is watching with us on social media and asks, who made the decision to drop the trains? What genius signed off on that decision? Indeed. Duncan is a member of the WURI. That's the lobbying group for railways. Thanks, Greg, for allowing us the time on your show. It's our pleasure here. More modern methods of building of the rail, which may be more, better methods in allowing the rail be situated within areas that wouldn't have been possibly, might be more effective, they say. And other people just wishing us good well, saying good morning. Thank you very much indeed. And some of you do so regularly. It's appreciated. John's always in, Michael, Audrey, and Bernie and Beth, some regular watchers of the show. Can you put a birthday request on, please, for my sister Louise Devine? I hope you have a lovely day. Happy birthday, Louise. Hope you have a lovely day. Don't forget, if you want birthday requests or messages sent out to people, get in touch. We're more than happy to do that, you know. I'm not cutting my grass because I can't find anyone to cut it. Enjoying the show as per usual, Greg. Regards, Eileen in Gweedore. Eileen, is that sort of you subtly saying, is there anyone around Gweedore cuts lawns? There's lots of, particularly young people, I think, in the summer, go out and about doing that. Eileen, if you want me to put it out there, you're looking for someone in the Gweedore area? Eileen, if I was your next door neighbour, and I'm not just saying this, I would cut your grass for you. But I'm not. So we're going to see if there's anyone out there might do it for you. I'm sure you don't mind paying either. Hi, due to ongoing works on the Milford Remelton Road, a lot of people are using the back road behind the Lag petrol station. As it is a back road, there are places to pull in to allow cars to pass. However, there are people using the road driving too fast and trying to pass at places which are extremely narrow. It's an accident waiting to happen. My word, please be careful. Those roads aren't designed for that type of traffic. Thankfully, no issues with accepting cash at the weekend's ladies' match, with a long queue at the cash turnstiles. Our understrength team missing Tanya and Geraldine, battling bravely against a physically stronger and pacey Dublin team. Final scoreline a bit harsh, with two late goals as heads dropped and players grew tired defending for so long. Good to see the main stand so full yesterday. Well, that was Sunday, but I got that yesterday. Wanted to read that out. Yes, it's a different organisation, isn't it? accepting cash. Good morning, Greg. I was travelling to the Blessing of the Graves yesterday morning and I was listening to the Reverend Jim Lamont. Such a powerful man. He's so great. Listening to his stories yesterday, they were brilliant and I'm sure it touched nearly everyone that was listening. He said about holding on to hurt and what it does to our minds. He said about a man that he spoke to in his 90s holding a hurt his father had said to him when he was in his 20s. He said, get rid of all our hurt and let God into our lives. By the way, I am a practicing Catholic, but Reverend Lamont spoke very strongly to me. Strong words indeed. Okay. Where are all the Irish flags to support the ladies in the World Cup? If it was the men's team playing, there'd be plenty. Come on, people, show some support. Would there be plenty? Do we do that anymore? Because even the our own, I mean, you see, you know, signs up for a local GAA team doing well, but I mean, unless we get past Ulster in the old format of the championship, do you see Donegal flags up anymore for the GAA? Should we see more Irish flags up supporting the women's team in Australia? I think we should. Are shops obliged to take 1 or 2 cent coins? Is it still legal tender? Thank you. Good question. Don't know the answer to that because there's that whole rounding up thing. It is legal tender. Of course it's legal tender. I'll take a million of your 1 cent coins if you have them. I'm not sure as it relates to shops handling them. Leave that with me. We'll check it out. It's an interesting little curiosity, that question. Hello, Greg. Could you please congratulate Burton Port Community Centre, which is celebrating 30th anniversary this Thursday. They're having a day of celebration on that day. We're lucky to have this lovely centre and staff here. Best wishes for Mary Ferry. More than happy to say, brilliant achievement, 30 years of the Burton Port Community Centre.